Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Former President Trump's immunity claims case goes before the U.S. Supreme Court for arguments on Thursday. Trump claims that he cannot face prosecution for anything done while in the Oval Office if he's not first impeached by the House and convicted by the Senate. Trump's attorneys will argue before the court that the former president should not face criminal charges for alleged election interference. A new indictment is filed against alleged fake electors for Donald Trump in Arizona.
Justice demands an answer to the efforts that the defendants and other unindicted co-conspirators allegedly took to undermine the will of Arizona's voters during the 2020 presidential election.
Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays, in a video posted on X several weeks after the election, the 11 people got together and dubbed themselves to be the real Arizona electors and pledged that all 11 of their votes went to Donald Trump. Among those facing charges is Kelly Ward, who served as chair of the Arizona GOP during the 2020 election. The Speaker of the House is joined by fellow Republican politicians at Columbia University amidst tense protests there. On Wednesday, Speaker Mike Johnson said college students should not be forced to live in fear because of pro-Palestine protest groups and called on the university's president to be held accountable.
And calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos.
The demonstrators are demanding the Biden administration pull its support back for Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza due to reports of Palestinian suffering. The U.S. government is already poised, though, to send another round of more than $20 billion in foreign aid to Israel as the conflict with Hamas continues. This is USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
TikTok is reacting after President Biden signed a bill into law Wednesday that sets the stage for banning the social media platform if its Chinese parent company doesn't sell it. USA's John Schaefer has the reaction.
TikTok announced plans to take legal action to prevent new U.S. legislation that might result in its ban.
Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side.
In a video posted on TikTok, CEO Hsiao Chu described the bill's passage as obviously disappointing but not defining. TikTok has successfully challenged laws in the past, including blocking a Montana law that sought to ban it statewide.
The national average price for a gallon of gas remains unchanged. According to AAA, the average cost for a gallon of regular gas still stands at $3.66 across the country. It's consistent with last week's price, but it's 13 cents higher than it was 1 month ago. A new report can help determine if you're still earning enough to be considered middle class. Smart Asset, a financial site, analyzed data from the U.S. Census Bureau and the Pew Research Center to establish the middle class salary range in all 50 states. Nationally, the middle class salary range is roughly $50,000 to $150,000. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, glad you could join us. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got a great story to share with you from Kenza Haddock, her new book, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. And she joins us now. Kenza, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I'm so excited to hear your story because your story is important on many levels, and in some ways is very typical, I can say, of stories that I hear from other former Muslims, how they come to know Christ and the life-changing experience that it represents. For background, let's talk about life as a Muslim for you as you were growing up. Where were you raised? Where was your family living at the time that you were devout Muslims?
So I was born in Casablanca, Morocco, mm-hmm. and my family and I moved to the States when I was about 12 years old. So that I remember when we moved to the States, my parents became even more stringent about what type of television we watched. I'm sure you're familiar with Al Jazeera.
It's yes, of
primarily
course.
Arabic news. Uh-huh. And right. So they wanted us to watch more Islamic TV. And I think looking back for them, you know, Morocco is primarily Muslim. And so move mm-hmm. into the States where it's not primarily Muslim, they just wanted us to hold on to those roots. And I remember
the culture,
them
right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And preaching, right. Listen, you were born Muslim, you die Muslim. That was like mm-hmm. the anthem of my life.
Right. And you were part of the, what, 85% of the Muslim world, which is Sunni, right? As
yes.
opposed to Shia.
Yes.
So you were Sunni Muslim. Yeah. And so, and sometimes people don't understand the difference, but there is a clear difference between Sunni and Shia. But you were raised Sunni, so your parents come here to America. What were they thinking in terms of here they are, especially, you know, people are suspicious of Middle Easterners and coming here? And I know that when my parents, for example, when they came to the United States, it was about assimilation. But that was decades ago. And here, it seems that people who come to America want to, you know, I'm not saying you should deny your culture. I think the culture is rich. It's great to have and share and all that, you know, with one another. But, you know, if you're holding on to the culture in such a way that it restricts you and and blocks you off, then I think that's problematic, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. It is, because it almost, I felt isolated a lot, and I was the baby. I say I was, because that's no norm. No, I don't consider them my family anymore, but the baby, and so I was the youngest one when we moved, mm-hmm. and so, you know, like, I wanted to have friends, and being raised that, like, for just as an example, like I would say over half of the Quran talks badly about Jews. And so, like, mm-hmm. I felt like Allah, who I worshipped, would strike me down if I had a Jewish friend, for example, just an example like that. And so it was very restrictive. I had to, like, just look for Muslim friends, and it was difficult.
And that worldview is typical, is it not, Kenza, that if you had an infidel as a friend, that was anathema. I mean, that you were in such violation of the faith that in some families it was worthy of an honor killing.
Yes, if they did not want me to get quote unquote Americanized, and to your point, it's like we move here and this becomes my culture, but I'm not allowed for it to become my culture. It was very confusing. It really was.
Mm-hmm. How many other kids in the family at the time? Four others. So are they, they're processing you're the youngest, but they have to be processing all of a sudden they're in America. And there's no doubt. I mean, America had its issues. I mean, for people of faith, you look at America and, by comparison, could be perceived as being very decadent. I don't blame your parents for being so protective of you, even at that period of time, because America had been on a decline when it came to morality and these critical issues that, the Muslim faith promotes. So I can understand and appreciate the conflict there. So I respect your parents for their position in trying to protect you. But wow, this is like almost impossible. I mean, because you're brought into a culture that, that is so pervasive at every turn. I mean, how do you exist? Because the nature of man is that we want to relate. You know, we want to have friends. We want to talk to people. We want to, I guess for lack of a better word, assimilate and at least say, hey, look at them. I'm not foe. I could be a friend, kind of thing. Right.
Oh, absolutely. What I did, I mean, I remember looking back, was I just tried to stay away from any political conversations, any religion-related conversations, and it's almost like I tried to have these secret friends because, Jewish people were off the table, for sure.
Yes.
I couldn't bring anyone home and they find out they're Jewish. I mean, that would have been really bad. And so I just tried to have friends at school. They just couldn't come over. I couldn't go over there. And by the age, I mean, that's essentially what led me to give my life to Jesus, because by the age of 21, 22, I became very depressed because, I mean, in human nature, really, I was considered a rebel. I was a great Pharisee. I'm not going to lie to you. It was like, the Quran called for prayer five times a day. I knew I was going to sin, so I would pray seven times a day. It was like balancing a checkbook.
Right.
Because in my mind, I'm like, okay, if I pray two more times, then it's going to make up for some of the sin that I was going to commit by befriending this person. And so, yeah, by the age of, I'd say 22, I became very depressed. I was convinced that Allah hated me. I was convinced. So Muslims believe that they worship the same God as Christians, just because Islam takes some of the historical context, just picks and chooses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we go on break a little bit. We got about 50 seconds, but no, I appreciate what you're saying in revealing, some of this important background. Now, so here you are. You're the youngest. You're the rebel of the family. What are the older kids saying?
Oh, yeah. They were confirming that something was off with me and that Allah hated me because I was having all the issues. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we've got to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to hear more of Kenza Haddock's story. She's the author of the new book, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. Yes, you heard that right. So we'll have more from Ken's on the other side. Right now, it's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. There are still millions of people who are longing for the peace that only Christ can give, and we're determined to share His love in any way we can. The Tide 3rd Annual Race to Share the Gospel invites participants to run, walk, bike, hike, or even swim 13 miles in 16 days to make an eternal impact on the lives of millions around the world. The race will kick off on Saturday, April 27th, and end on Sunday, May 12th. This year, the Tide Ministry aims to raise $15,000 to directly enable new outreach in the Balkan region of Eastern Europe. Holding this virtual race gives fellow believers the opportunity to tangibly participate in what God is doing worldwide. To learn more about the Tide Race to Share the Gospel and how you can participate regardless of where you live, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
And independent. This is the way you like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez. 19 minutes after, Kenza Haddock continues with us. Her book, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. So to bring you up to date, we're talking about her childhood, raised in a Muslim family. She comes from Morocco to America. Of course, the parents want to protect her and maintain a Muslim faith. And as she walks through this, along with, what was it, three other siblings, right? Three other siblings in your family, Kenza, as well?
Yes, four, yes.
Four total? Four total kids?
Five total.
Five total, okay. So four other kids, and you're walking through this process, and questions are coming up in terms of your faith. I mean, the fact that here you are, the youngest and a bit of a rebel, and asking questions, and the answer is Allah hates you. That's kind of a tough way to embrace any kind of faith, I would think. And you enter into a period of depression, and you're kind of like wondering what it's all about. So what finally happens? What is the trigger point for you that brings you into the presence of a loving God?
Yeah, so I tried going to the mosque to feel some kind of, I mean, really to earn God's favor. That's in my mind.
And that's the problem with a lot of religions, is that it's about acts and not faith.
Yes.
And so it's by what you're measured by what you do, and here you are. Trust me, Catholics do the same thing. You know, other Christians do the same thing. They go, okay, well, I know I should be praying three times a day, so I'll make it five. To you know, I'll do extra duty, extra works here in order to make up for the sin that I know I'm gonna do, right? Because we're all falling.
Yes,
it's hysterical. I love it.
Good. I mean, and it doesn't work. It just does not work. I remember October 19th, 2012. I'll never forget. I was sitting on my couch contemplating ending my life because I, in my mind, if God hates me and I'm trying to earn his favor and there's nothing I can do, then why should I even live? I have no purpose to live anymore. I mean, it was my life was drained out of me. And I remember that was the first time I threw out all of the Islamic rituals of like bathing before I prayed or anything, and I just threw myself on the ground and cried out to whoever would hear me and said, God, I know you hate me. I know I don't have any favor with you. Just show me the way to you. And I cried myself to sleep that night, and that night I had a dream that it was the end times. And in my dream, I was looking out of the window, and I saw the sky open and a man in a white robe descending from the sky. And in my dream, I knew that was Jesus, but that Jesus was more than a prophet. Jesus was the Lord, because one of the reasons
you knew that right then. You had revelation that this wasn't some nice guy in a white robe or a prophet, that this was the Lord himself.
I knew that he was more than a prophet. What was going on? So I do believe that my spirit recognized he's the Lord. I was arguing with myself in my dream. I'll never forget that, because I was ingrained from birth that was blasphemy.
Exactly.
That you don't say that. And so I'm watching him, and I feel, as he's approaching me, I felt this peace I had never felt in my life. I mean, considering my circumstances and what was going on. And so as he was approaching me, I woke up, and God sent me other dreams after that. And I wish I could tell you, Bill, I woke up and gave my life to Jesus, but I didn't, because it was such a big decision. I went to the library, tried to research what this meant, because, I mean, Jesus himself says count the cost. And for me, you know, it meant I was going to be in violation of apostasy law by Islamic standards, which is punishable by death. And so I needed to
Not to mention the other impact it was going to have with your family, right? I mean, because at that point, you're pretty well isolated from your... I mean, you're isolated anyway. Great. Let's be isolated from my own family, too, right?
Yes. Because I was in violation of Sharia law, which was, you know, what governed me for the first 23 years, or what I believed governed me. And so 10 months passes, and one day I make the decision. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to follow Jesus. He is a loving God. And I moved, for safety reason, I moved to another state, to South Carolina. And what's interesting is I didn't know how to get saved. And if anyone, and I know this is a foreign concept, I promise you, if people look up like ex-Muslims, or there are so many questions on the internet that say, I am an ex-Muslim and I want to be a Christian, what is the process of getting saved?
What do I do? Oh, my God.
I thought I needed to pass tests and and get a diploma.
Yeah, right. Go to some university or something. Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's a foreign concept.
Yeah, because when your work's based, you're thinking, okay, I got to do something here, right? And the idea that just have faith, just believe, is it's too simple for us complicated humanoids, you know? It's just...
Oh yeah,
I think maybe partially, Kenza, because we realize that we don't deserve it, and maybe because of that concept that we don't deserve, we feel like we have to work our way to God, but here he is. He answers your honest prayer and comes to you in a dream and visions, which seems to be the consistent. Testimony of former Muslims is that Jesus visits them in their dreams, in much the same ways he did with you.
Absolutely. I've been asked why I believe that is. And the only thing I can think of, obviously, you know, we don't know God's ways. The only thing I can think of in my mind is the first pillar of Islam essentially denies the deity of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so... But when he comes to us in a dream, we can't deny him. I mean, that's him. He comes in authority.
Yeah,
and it's thank
real.
God.
And it's real. Yeah. That's the thing. You may say it's a dream, but it's almost like what it reminds me of a little bit is like on the road to Damascus, right? You've got Paul. Jesus confronts Paul. Nobody else sees him, you know, right? So almost dreamlike, right? Maybe there's some similarity there. Just a thought.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there was a story in the Bible, I believe Jesus was walking with people on the road after his mm-hmm. crucifixion and resurrection.
Right.
And you know, they said, wasn't our heart burning within us? And that is, I mean, you just feel, you know, it's him. And I mean, my life changed drastically after I gave my life mm-hmm. to him. I gave my life to him, by the way, in a parking lot. I was talking to a friend, a Christian friend, and I shared my dream with him. And he opened his Bible right then and there while we were on the phone, and he shared Romans 10:9, and he said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're saved. And I said, really? And, of course, a couple weeks later, Bill, I go to church and give my life to Jesus again, just in case the parking lot wasn't holy enough. I wasn't sure.
Well, it's a profession. I mean, you're no question. I mean, what happened in the parking lot doesn't stay in the parking lot, and so it even goes to the church because look at how many people were touched by your profession. And Jesus said, look at if you don't honor me before man, I'm not going to honor you before my Father, right? So
Amen.
there is that part of it. Because what happens is that, you know, we're not ashamed of the gospel when you realize what it's done, you know, for your life and that 30 seconds left. I mean, I could be talking to you for days here. Where are you at with your family right now?
They have come after my husband and I and our children. Mm. And we've had to do a do not contact. I mean, we've been on the other side of persecution, but... God has protected us through it all.
He sure has. Well, she's the author of the book, The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. Kenza Haddock has been our guest. Kenza, God bless.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. and you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-254-1421. 800-254-1421. 800-254-1421. That's 800-254-1421.
USA News Update. Recent polling from Quinnipiac University finds most American voters think Donald Trump either did something illegal or at least unethical in the New York hush money case. Voters were polled about Trump's criminal trial connected to charges of falsifying business records. 46% believe the former president did something illegal, while 27% believe he did something unethical but not illegal. 18% believe he did not do anything wrong. The Arizona House of Representatives has passed a bill to repeal a Civil War-era abortion law. State Democrats have successfully advanced a bill that would eliminate the 1864 law, which had banned nearly all abortions. The legislation now proceeds to the state Senate, where it is expected to be approved early next month. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
Minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you can check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. Doug Stroop is coming back. It's been a while since he and I have connected. Lots to talk about, Samaritan Ministries International, his latest project, and so much more. Doug, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thank you so much, Bill. It's great to be here.
Well, let's tell your story, just to remind everybody of how you got involved with Samaritan Ministries, because yours is such, number one, a terrific story, but number two, very typical of the testimonies that we hear from people who are involved with Samaritan Ministries.
Yeah, so basically my story, Bill, I had a traumatic brain injury a few years ago, and I had an accident, a cycling accident, where I went over the handlebars and tried to roll out of it on the other end and ended up in my helmet, obviously, but I drove the dial of my helmet. I hit just in a certain way that it drove the dial of the helmet into the base of my skull, and it did a lot of damage, especially to the brain stem, and my body just, my brain actually just was not functioning anymore. So from the traumatic brain injury, and then a lot of other things happened as a result of that. But Samaritan Ministries was there with me the entire way. And one of the things for me that brought so much comfort is, you know, as the bills were compiling, the multiple doctors and all the different tests, everything that I had to go through, you know, it was hard on my wife and having to make decisions because I was not able to. I literally was just laid up for the first 8 months, not able to function. I couldn't walk, talk, all those things. And so I was out of work for almost 3 years. And during all of that time, Samaritan was there with me every step of the way to, you know, and of course the Samaritan Ministry family was there with me to make sure that all those bills were taken care of and you know, we, that wasn't another hardship right on top of what I was going through. And so
exactly.
We're very, very thankful for them to be there and help me all the way through. Yeah.
Doug, what was life like before the accident? I mean, you were on a, what was it, a fundraiser, 103-mile bike journey, and you get to about a mile to the end, and then you have this accident, right? So
yeah,
tell us,
right.
tell us your story before that led up to this. Go ahead.
Absolutely. It's called BRAG, Bike Ride Across Georgia. It's a big organization, and there was hundreds of riders out here. And I was doing a century ride, yeah. So from start to finish was 103 miles. And, Bill, I had just passed mile marker 102. I was less than a mile from the finish line. I was wore out, obviously, from riding that far in a day. And my back tire, I blew a spoke in the back tire of the bike, and it went took me off the road. And I bogged down in the mud, and so I tried to overcompensate to get back up on the road and ended up going over the handlebars at 20 miles an hour. My bike went across two lanes of traffic that I was going with. My body went out into the middle of that traffic. And I thank God that I didn't get run over because, you know, obviously when my head hit the asphalt there on the other side of that, I'd blacked out. When I came to, I don't know how much time lapsed between the blackout and the coming to, but I was on the side of the road. Not out in the middle. I had not been run over, and I was on the side of the road with a cycling buddy of mine, you know, over me, just, you know, trying to keep me calm and make sure we'll see what was wrong or if I was okay. But anyway, all of that, you know, just led to the TBI, which was the worst part of the accident. There were many other things were wrong too, but I've healed up now, and I'm thankful to be on the other side of the
well, thank God.
Healing
yeah,
journey.
Thank God. But what were you doing? What were you doing before? What was your business before all this happened?
You mean the day of the ride or
No. Prior to, I mean, what was life for Doug Stripp like, you know, before biking, before BRAG, you know, family life, yeah. you had your own company, right?
Right. I have a company. I have Onkey Studio, which is a film production company. I'm now with Make It Clear Studio, which is a different film production company. So I've been an actor and a singer and filmmaker and all that for many years. But now, you know, I'm the senior director of Make It Clear Studio, which is we're producing faith-based films and all of those, you know, really to have an impact. We want to make the viewers think about what they're watching, you know, not just to entertain people, but to educate them on different topics and issues and things that we're dealing with, the real life issues.
There is a hunger for that, isn't there, Doug? I mean, unfortunately, journalism has got compromised. The mainstream media is compromised. You know, people are confused. You know, where do I go for the truth? And, you know, it should be people of faith who are the vanguards of truth and leading the way, right?
Yes. Yeah, there is a real need, even in the Christian world and in the filmmaking, you know, world or industry, there is such a need for more Christian content. And so that's what we're doing, and we're meeting that need. We've kind of coined this new word called edutainment, you know, because we don't want to just entertain. I'm not against entertainment. I don't want to just entertain, though. I want to educate the people and the viewers and really, you know, put something out there that's going to make them kind of stop and think. You know how you come out from a film and you go, oh, remember that scene? Oh, this scene, that scene. Wasn't that great? I love the way they did that. Well, that's okay. But I want them coming out going, ooh, that was a major issue. And I need to spend some time really considering where do I stand on that issue.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
What does that make me think about? And can I make a difference in that? You know, does my opinion, it is, you know, like if it's on trafficking or if it's on abortion or if it's on bullying or, you know, these major topics and many, many others. Those are the things that we do as Make It Clear Studio. And so very excited. We want to make people think, and they can make a difference. You know?
Right. And you called it edutainment. Is that what you called it?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I love that. That's great. Because, again, you know, well, you hope as a storyteller, as a movie maker, that you're telling stories that are going to uplift and motivate people and, you know, and have a call to action as opposed to just being something that's amusing, you know. You know, you're there and you're coming out with a product. In fact, we'll go ahead. I was going to save it for the next segment, but we can start to talk about your latest pro-life film, My Name is Melissa.
Yes. Yes, it's a very, very powerful film. As you mentioned, a pro-life film. It's not your typical pro-life. We don't argue, you know, the woman's right to choose or my body, my choice, or we don't argue like when does it become a human? You know, I mean, whatever. We know it's at conception, but we don't argue those things in this film. Mm-hmm. This is more of a film that really it goes through a life of this 7-year-old little girl, and it's a thriller, and it really kind of keeps you edge of your seat, like who is that guy, you know, thinking through this, and then you realize what's going on, and it's like this, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming. I mean, it's just like that's the, you know, we're using it to really, you know, if I could just say, hit people between the eyes with this issue of life in the womb and where do I stand? I want to make the viewer think about where do I stand on that issue? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how can I make a difference? How can I minister to somebody else who's thinking that termination is their only option? Well, it's not.
Right.
And
exactly.
So we want to use this to educate the viewers. Yeah.
How is this available, Doug? How can people see My Name is Melissa?
Yeah, so Bill, because of the impact of this particular message, right, we're talking about as a pro-life film, we are doing a church distribution, nationwide church distribution model right now. Before we go theatrical, you know, some of our future films will be theatrical release, but this particular one is done through a nationwide church distribution, and they can easily go mynameismelissa.com, real simple, name of the film, mynameismelissa.com. And any church or organization can simply fill out a form there. Just a little banner that says, interested in hosting a screening. And if they fill that out, we get that and we contact them. We set up the date and all that. So it's very, very simple. That's what we're doing right now.
Well, this is awesome. We're talking with Doug Stroop. He's a member of Samaritan Ministries International. He is also a movie maker. His organization, again, is Make It Clear Studio, I think appropriately titled, you know, focusing on what he calls edutainment. I love that idea. Anyway, we've got to go to break. We've got more from Doug on the other side. Stay with us.
Like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
As promised, we're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez. We come to you live Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And we're talking with Doug Stroup, member of Samaritan Ministries International. He is also with Make It Clear Studio. And we're talking about My Name is Melissa. And this is his latest story to be told on the big screen. Now, we know the challenge in the church today, and the church has been, I guess, maybe ill-prepared, under-equipped to deal with this issue. It's estimated, according to Barna, that a third of the people that you sit next to in the pews on Sunday at church have been involved in abortion. You know, either, you know, paid for one, you know, experienced one, all that. Yes. And so that is one of those silent binds that, you know, God wants to liberate you from. And that, you know, and until it's confronted, and not that there's going to be, I mean, whatever happens, happens there. But the people need to understand that there is a loving God who is there, that loves you and cares for you and is there, you know, to forgive your sin and to and to liberate you, because, you know, God wants us to be free. And we've been bound up by this culture and by the narrative of the culture, and people are less than what God created us to be. And, you know, that's not good.
That's right. You know, and we can make a difference. Part of the reason why we're doing this is because of the impact of the message of the film. We want to be able to have counseling available at the end of the viewing, you know, at each one. And so we'll have church, you know, pastors, and, you know, maybe if they have a pregnancy care center or something there as a part of the church, whatever it is, teachers, counselors, we'll have them available at the end of those screenings at each location to be able to immediately reach out and minister to the people whose lives have been touched by the film. I mean, I want my life to make a difference in other people's lives, you know, both for now and for eternity. Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that Samaritan Ministries is helping do that same thing. Right. As they're reaching out and helping people through the tough times and helping to get those bills paid. And that's not so it's not a hardship on top of a hardship. You know, that's what they've done for me. And so all together as believers, I mean, we are called, all of us. Not all of us are called to be in the ministry like a pastor or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But all of us are called. We do have a calling in our lives to help make a difference in somebody else's life, for now and for eternity. And, of course, the gospel and death, burial, resurrection of Christ is the answer. right, exactly. That people are looking for, and we're here to share that with them, and we choose to do that, you know, both personally, you know, privately talking to people, but we also choose to do that through film, which is a great, great avenue to reach masses of people with a powerful message.
Well, and you bring up an excellent point here, Doug, and that is that, you know, our testimony, our experience with God is personal. And, and nobody can take that away from you.
No.
And you may be hesitant saying, because I hear people, I just don't know how to witness. I go, you make it too complicated. I go, to me, one of the best witnesses in the New Testament was the blind one, right? I know, I don't understand it. I really don't understand. All I know, I was blind, now I see. And that's the way it is about sin. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I was this way. Now I'm that way. And the difference is Jesus, right?
Absolutely. I love it. Yes.
Yeah. And it's so honest. And that's the thing is sometimes, you know, people think, I don't have the right Christianese sort of language or what. No, forget that. People don't want to hear Christianese.
Right.
They just want to hear your story. What happened? You know, it's like one time I'm almost sad. I'm ashamed, a little bit ashamed to tell you this story. I'm going to this church service, and I hear that there's going to be like 36 people, you know, coming up giving their testimony.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I got to sit through, you know, and at the same time, part of me is seeing this, and the other part is going, hey, quit being a knucklehead, you know, you don't know, you know, kind of deal. So you have this paradox going on, you know, within our humanity as I go into church. Cause you might go into church, say, okay, I went to church. I'm there, you know, I fulfill my obligation, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, sitting through 36, testimonials, right? So anyway, so I go in there and what happens, I don't know. Have you ever been where they do a cardboard testimony?
Yes, I have.
Is that amazing?
Times, yes.
Okay.
All
right.
So
this is the first time I'm experiencing, so you know what I'm talking about. So all of a sudden, people don't say anything. All it is, it's just a cardboard. They've handwritten what they were on one side and what are on the other side, right? Since they're converted, it is so powerful. I mean, like, you know, 3-4 deep in, tears are running down my eyes for several reasons. First of all, I'm so moved and touched by the dramatic, you know, exchange, the dramatic transfer and liberty that these people and their testimonies and what they experienced in Christ. I mean, it's so awesome. And I'm crying. Yeah. And then the other part of me is like, what a knucklehead. I mean, how dare you, you know, minimize somebody's testimony like that. And it was just, I was so embarrassed. I'm being real honest with you about it. But again, see, that's the opportunity, because you never know whether it's, you know, the Bible talks about that aptly spoken word. Maybe it's just the aptly spoken or the absolute, you know, the aptly turn of a piece of cardboard that says I was and now I am. Who's to say, right?
Yeah. Well, so many of us don't even want to share who we used to be because we're ashamed of that, right? And Courtney, we don't need to look back and dwell on our past and all the sin and the ugly, right, that was in our life. We need to dwell on the positive, and this is the difference that Jesus made, right?
But right, exactly.
I love when people are vulnerable to say, you know, this is who I was, and this is who I am now, and that's the power that the gospel and the, you know, relationship with Christ has in all of our lives. And you mentioned a minute ago the simplicity. Yeah, we do try to make it harder, or we fear, like, I'm going to say something wrong, or I'm going to look stupid, or I'm going to sound whatever, you know, and so I just don't even share. But no, listen, we all have a story, and it's our story to tell.
Exactly.
And so literally witnessing is can be as simple as just sharing, here's who I was. And again, you don't have to dwell on the ugly, the sin, but this is who I was. I was a sinner, and this is how it manifests itself. And now I no longer have that desire anymore. I no longer walk that path. Now, you know, here's what Jesus, the difference he's made in my life. And I like to ask, you know, here he can make that same difference in your life.
Exactly.
Right? Do we realize that we're a sinner and that we understand that's why Jesus died on the cross, not because he had sin of his own, but because of my sin? Mm. And that his death, his burial, his resurrection, I mean, the blood of Christ covers my sin. And now, you know, we place your faith in him. And what he did, that was for me. You have everlasting life. And so it's easy to have that just rolls off my tongue because I've done it a lot, obviously. But if you don't have to have everything like memorized. If you just tell your story, this is what God did for me. He can do the same for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's amazing when you do, when it is so personal, Doug, because, you know, just like in producing, you know, movies and the projects that you're on, the more personal, the more effective, aren't they?
Oh, my. Yes. Yeah. And I like depth. I mean, I don't want to just go, I'm not like, you know, fluff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that was a... that movie didn't really even say anything to me. You know, I really wanted to say something and tug at the heartstrings of people. You know, Bill, I feel like time is short. I mean, and we've got a powerful opportunity to reach the masses of people. That's why I'm even in film, right? Mm-hmm. Because if I'm out, if I'm speaking somewhere and I've got a room full of people, well, okay, then my message, God's message through me is going to reach that room full of people. But what if you record that message?
Exactly.
Now you can reach hundreds of thousands or more with that same message because and they're not even sitting in that room. And so that's the power of film, right? You record it and it can reach many, many more people than are actually there at the moment. But it also outlives us.
Exactly.
It's there for a long, long time to reach, you know, continue reaching people. And so I love doing that.
No, this is what a gift and an opportunity. And like you said, especially, you know, as Jesus said, look out there. See what's going on, man. You know, the harvest.
Yeah.
Look at the harvest. And I believe at that time people didn't quite realize. And I have a sense that Jesus is telling us that right now. Hey, Bill, Doug, look out there. Look at the harvest right now. All the chaos. See, people see chaos right now. They see there's no doubt, you know, that people are, you know, they're concerned. There's a crisis happening in our culture today. And they're looking for an answer. And I think one thing that I see repeatedly, Doug, I don't know about you, but I see people looking up more naturally than ever, you know, and it's almost like I want to say, hey, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's our opportunity, your opportunity, my opportunity, others to go out there and give them that answer. Give them the solution, the Jesus solution that they're looking for. That is the solution that will liberate them and make sense out of the nonsense of this world. Because this now, this is all temporary. This is all flashing by, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I've often had this thought, you know, that there is a God and I'm not him. But if I was, how much more of this could I take, you know, before I say, okay, enough's enough, you know, I'm done. I mean, that's why I say time is short, right? None of us know when the Lord's going to come back. None of us know when we're going to pass. So we don't know when we're going to step into the eternal life. So we've got to be ready for that now.
Right,
by placing your faith in Christ and what he did on the cross, right? And so we love to put that message, you know, throughout, you know, our films. You know, we're certainly not here to force things down anybody's throat. We just want to make them think and consider the issues and the topics that we, you know, that we address in our films. And so, it's fun, you know, it's powerful. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Dugstra, thank you so much for being with us. The website they can go to find out more about my name is Melissa.
Right. I will give you two. One, mynameismelissa.com. That's going to give you specifically some information, some trailer, teaser things about the film. And then also any organization or church can sign up for a screening. We'll contact you once we get that form. They can fill it out at mynameismelissa.com. The other, just for general information, is makeitclearstudio.com. So thank you so much, Bill. This has been wonderful.
Hey, thanks, Doug. God bless. Take care.
All right. You too, brother. Bye-bye now.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla.